to the ancient show.
Anyways, we were talking about Marcos's like naming schemes for his music. We just forgot to hit record. Sorry. Yeah. It's us tonight.
Me and Ruben have shared, like, we share our hard drives for music stuff, so like he can look at all my music and I can look at all his music stuff. And like it's like a hard drive swap, essentially, is what you call them.
Yeah.
And I've given Ruben access to like all of my stems and everything, so he can read it. And he's like, dude, he's like, your music's cool, it's great, I love it, but like your fucking naming convention is so frustrating, because I'll be looking for a track and the track is called Anyaunyuaga. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that slaps. That's one of my best tracks. If you like that one, you're probably like, right? It's 707. You'll probably love that one, dude. That's a good,
yeah,
that's a good track.
I love that one. I like the one that goes, what's the fucking damn? We were just talking about the Men in Black cartoon, too. Remember when Will Smith just goes,
I like the one where he's like going backwards. It sounds like it's going in reverse. He's like, boom.
Yeah.
Like it's ridiculous. Anyways, fuck.
I've got to look up this scene real quick.
I just like, that's the one I remember the most.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a corn song, honestly.
It does.
Have you been on TikTok recently? Do you know about Corn is Girly Pop? Do you know about this?
Dude, I've never been on TikTok.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't pay attention to TikTok. I'm sorry.
I love TikTok. I was talking to Shogs about it. I was talking with Shogs about it. But, like, TikTok is, like, advanced brain rot, but it's got no, like, political agenda to it. It's just, like, it's just meant to advance your brain rot, right? Like, Xi Jinping is sending advanced brain, memetic brain rot directly into your brain.
Yes.
And he's making, right, like, into the American to make them stupider, which is
cool. I think
cool.
It's great.
Yeah, I think we should keep doing this. And then YouTube
I'm not exposing myself to it, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm getting the gems from everybody that are, like, you know, the friends that I'm losing to brain damage, essentially.
YouTube Shorts. I'm immune, I feel like. I should, at this point, I'm probably immune.
YouTube Shorts are insane.
YouTube Shorts are just, they're just, it's racism. It's hard to explain, but it's, like, high-powered
racism. It's just, like, hardcore, some of the most racist shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's like, high-powered.
What's fucked up, too, is, like, my algorithm is all, like, guys that do chemistry like in labs. Fucking Townsend's the like 18th century like colonial cooking guy. And
well, that's why. There
like
you go.
The things YouTube poops.
You've already fucked up by going into the moment you type in 18th century, you're gonna have
I'm not typing
in
18th century though. He was recommended shorts, because he's right? Basically a cooking channel.
Yeah, no, it is a cooking channel. It's crazy how, like, I don't know. He's
fun to watch, though.
He is. Do you remember he had like a meltdown? Like, this is kind of sad. He had a meltdown about guys who were like 1776, baby, America number one. And he was like, stop.
I actually watched that because that was like, it got thrown into my recommended feed one day because I'd just been binging a lot of his content. And YouTube is at that point like, oh, you'll like all of his content, not just the stuff that's related to the things that you're watching. And it wasn't really a meltdown so much as it was just a general plea to his community to stop being racist.
Yeah. Well, I say meltdown
because
I'm trying to sell it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Okay. Sorry,
man. I'm autistic.
Yeah, he was shitting.
Please be patient with me.
Yeah, he was crying and. He was crying and spitting.
Yeah,
and
he was crying. He was shitting himself.
Yeah, throwing
blood
up.
Blood was coming out of his tears. He's throwing up.
Yeah. He was like, guys are so racist. You guys are so racist.
He was reciting the Shahada.
Yeah. He was like, Lisan Agaib.
He was yelling, Lisan Agaib.
Yeah, he's at the top of his lungs.
I hope I get to watch Dune, man. I don't have any fucking time at all. I'm working so much.
It does suck because you have to, like, it's not, the movie's like almost 3 hours long, but you need like 6 hours because you need to, like, you need 3 hours to watch the movie. Then you need other 3 hours to, like, ruminate. You know what I'm saying? I went and watched it with Ruben and Dami, and, like, And Christine liked it because she's like Dune pilled now. Ruben like was starting to
fall
asleep.
There you cut out. You went to watch it with Ruben?
Yeah, I went to go watch. Can you hear me now?
Great. We're back.
Okay, we're back. All right, cool.
We're back.
I'll cut around this stuff.
And we're back. just a little.
Yeah, a little.
Just a little disgusting waveform there for us.
So I went to go watch Dune with Ruben and Dami and Christine. Christine liked it because we watched Dune before, like the first one. We watched the first of the new ones. We watched it so she could get more context. And then we watched the old one. And she actually said that she liked the old one better because it was funnier. Right? Like, she said it was a much funnier movie. And there's no comedy. Like, this other one doesn't really have much comedy going for it. And I was like, well, the story, there's not a lot of comedy in the story, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of comedy in the story.
Yeah, the one in, but it is true that the one in the 80s is extremely funny because there's like scenes where she's like, get out of my mind! And it's so fucking, she's talking to a literal child. And it's so funny.
Rules.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
She's like, there's an abomination, kill it. And you point, and it's like a little girl. It's just so funny.
Cool.
It's insane, dude.
Sick.
Anyways, so she laughed at that movie. She thought it was hilarious. But the new one, she didn't. She liked it. And then Ruben like was like kind of falling asleep during the movie, and then today he's all like, "I love that movie, dude," and I'm like, "You were falling asleep.
You were slept through it. You mean you loved it? Did you watch it in your dreams?
I don't know what the fuck.
Actually, no, I take that back. If Ruben was asleep and the movie he watched in his dreams was a banger, I need to know just like a glimpse inside his mind. Actually, I want to know I want to know what Ruben's Dune looked like. This is why we need the Neuralink, so I can see what Ruben's dream Dune was.
It was just literally just Sonic Adventure.
It was Sonic Adventure. It was like him, him thinking he's playing a funny joke on you for making you work all day doing landscaping for a meal.
It's him. Actually, if Ruben had like got to direct Dune, it would be like a I Think You Should Leave skit, is what it would be like. Right, he's like, there's so much sand everywhere. Right, sand, and then like that would be.
There's so much sand.
And then at the end of the night when we were like leaving, right? He was like, wait, so like the sand is their money? And I was like, dude, shut up.
Oh
dude.
My god.
I was like, dude, shut up,
Ruben. I love you. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard anyone say.
He was saying it as a bit. But it was still pretty, like, it got...
God
it sounded,
damn.
Yeah, it sounded, he got me good.
Yeah, that's why they moved to that planet. It's because it's full of sand, and they're like, fuck, we're rich, and we don't have to do anything now.
And he's like, so are, like, the sand the money, or is, like, a worm the money? And I was like, dude, shut up. Dude. What are you talking about?
No, the sand is actually their electrical system, because it's desert power. They
it's
made a new
power,
kind of power plant. It's desert power.
And then
just harnessing the static electricity generated by giant worms tunneling through the sands.
Christine has been doing that, like that little stinger that they put in the movie sometimes. The one where it was like, ha, ha, she's just doing that now. No reason. She'll just start doing it. It's just an insane person thing. This movie has torn through my house like a wildfire. It's just,
oh, man. I hope I get to see it. I really do. I really want to see it. I don't know if there's any IMAX theaters near me, though.
I didn't see it in IMAX. You don't, if like, you people are like, oh, you should see things in IMAX. I don't really think you, doesn't, I don't think it
I've
matters.
Never seen anything in IMAX, though. I want to, you know.
I think I saw.
If I'm watching, I feel like for a movie made by a guy like Denis Villeneuve, however you pronounce his name, whose like primary focus is like shot composition. And like huge like scenes, you know what I mean? Like huge nature, like shots and everything. I feel like I'd want to watch that in IMAX for the same reason that I would want to watch Planet Earth in IMAX. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just feels like the kind of thing
I watched
that
the Batman,
is probably best suited for that.
I watched the Batman in IMAX because I just was desperate to see the Batman, and so I paid like I'm willing to pay $50 for a single ticket, whatever. I don't care. And so I like paid for it. Me and Christine are watching the movie. And like the whole time Christine's like, oh my God, this is incredible. And I'm like, I'm going to throw up. This is too much. This is too much screen. I've never experienced this before. My eyes hurt. I can't focus and look at the whole screen. I have to look at the whole, you know what I'm saying? My eyes have to move now. This sucks.
This like, sucks.
Yeah. And then I went like a month later when it released onto like HBO Max. I watched it on my phone and I was like, this is the way it was supposed to be watched. This is the way. This is cinema.
Yes. This is some movies were like honestly made to be watched on a phone, and people, I think, maybe don't. I don't know.
Aggro Drift, the guy who made it.
I think the directing community, or whatever you want to call them, like Hollywood, doesn't want to accept that. But yeah, some movies are bad in a theater, but they're like good if you just kind of watch it, like if it's in your hand while you're like, you know, fucking
doing making, other stuff.
Yeah, you're like washing the dishes or something. You know, you're the looking Blair over Witch like slaps. Once every like 20 seconds.
Yeah, the Blair Witch slaps when you're watching it on like a on your, you know, like you have a headphone, like you're watching it like a podcast. Right, yeah. Where like you look up every now and then, you're like, "Oh, they're doing some shit." You know, that's the way to watch that movie. Yeah, that's the way to watch that movie.
Shit's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm trying to think of what movie I watched, and like, I'm actually trying to rewatch because it's free on YouTube. The entire Dune miniseries, all 6 episodes, right? That go through all the books, even like Dune Messiah, where like you can see the guy turn into the worm, and like, I was. They thought yesterday when I was trying to explain to Ruben and Dami about, because they're like, they didn't read the books. They're like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? What is happening?
Lisa and Al-Gaib, that's what's going on.
And then I was just like, well, I'm like,
it's the prophecy.
I was like, I hope in the next movie that you get to see him turn into the worm. And then they were like laughing. They were laughing so hard because they were like, they're like, yeah, dude, that's so funny. And I'm like, no. Like,
it's not him, to be fair. It's not him that turns into the worm. It's his grandson.
Yeah, I know, but still, right? Like, still. I was just like, yeah. They were like, wait, are you being serious? I'm like, yeah, the person turns into one of the worms.
He turns like, into a giant worm and lives for 5,000 years, creates paradise, but also complete dystopia, and everything is so much the same all the time that everyone hates it and then kills him.
Yeah.
He literally...
They thought I was lying.
The fucking stinger is that was his plan all the along. Is to make people appreciate.
Oh my God.
It was so stupid.
It's kind of a
I love Frank Herbert.
Yeah, it's kind of a centrist ass movie when you think about it. Like it's a centrist idea.
It is.
It is
because it's like, oh, you can't have two extremes. Yeah, I'll make it so you can have no extremes, and that itself will be an extreme. And then you will all learn to appreciate moderacy. Like they literally got ruled by like a liberal fascist for 5,000 years.
They had a giant worm Joe Biden.
Yes, they did.
It's called the Golden Path, Jack.
It's called the Golden Path, Jack.
Separation of worm and state.
I'm on it. I walk. I feel the worms around my skin, Jack.
Yeah, children of the Lisan Al-Gaib. Yeah.
I nourish them.
The Bene Gesserit serve a purpose, Jack. Oh, my God.
So stupid. Say it with me, Jack. We will continue. We will destroy the Bene Gesserit and continue their human eugenics breeding program to create the one who kills me in 5,000 years. This makes perfect sense. My personal advisor will be like a guy who was the friend of my grandpa who I just keep cloning over and over.
And silver ass eyes,
And I keep killing him every time he realizes where he is and what he's being party to.
Oh my God.
Oh, fuck. Shit.
Children of Dune, Children of Dune really does kind of fall off. Like
it's so fucking crazy, dude.
Trying to explain it to anybody just makes you feel like
I quit this, reading. What was it? Because it's Dune Messiah, and then the God Emperor of Dune.
Yeah, God Emperor of Dune. Which
and
is
then
like,
the fourth one is Children of Dune, I think, right?
Yeah, Children of Dune, and then I've read five.
And then
there's
the two weird ones with Catboys or something.
Yeah, where it goes in that. It's like the Talaxu face dancers and shit.
Yeah, I started reading about 50, 60 pages into the fifth book and I quit.
I remember reading them and being like, there's a lot of cocaine involved in this. And the Light of Allah is no longer part, really plays.
No.
Which is weird, right?
The Light of Allah is no longer part of this project here. Yeah,
this is kind of like Orthodox Greek, Orthodox Greek Catholicism is kind of what this feels more closer to. You know what I'm saying? It's a little different. It's not really the same, right? You're not even doing Catholicism right. You're doing the weird shit. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You turned it into Tradcath rose glassesism or something.
You know what's crazy is how you never see Tradcaths have gone. They've kind of disappeared. Right. They don't exist in the same force.
Well, of course.
But
because it's a fad. It's always just some disguise for whatever guys on the right are trying to get into because they're looking for some kind of identity.
The new thing is
in group to fit into, but they'll never find one because their entire
they found one. It's trad Mormonism, which is what
it's trad Mormonism now. They're Mormons,
which is the worst thing. Can you imagine arguing with some fucking
trad Mormonism is so funny. It makes it was invented after 1800.
That's what I'm saying. trad Mormonism is hilarious because people were like, yeah, we have to go back to the good old days when Jesus was an American. What are you talking about, dog?
What are you talking about, man? Trad Mormonism is being a Golden Plates truther. It's being insane and being fucking
You know about
what would you do for that?
Do you know about the spherical Earth, guys?
Spherical Earth or spherical Earth?
Spherical Earth.
Okay.
So
no.
Okay. So it's guys claiming that. So they agree that the Earth is round and that the Earth is not a square. It's not flat.
Okay.
Right. But they're arguing now on the shape of the Earth. They're saying that the Earth is a perfect sphere. Right. Uh-huh. And it has no it's like a perfect blue sphere. And there's science that proves that that's not true. Earth's kind of lumpy. Right. It's kind of a misshapen orb.
And because it kind of bulges out near the equator because of the fucking centrifugal forces.
But these guys are arguing.
It doesn't bulge out much, but it does.
They're arguing. It's weird. It's a fucking bizarre. They're so pedantic. They're arguing the fact that all of the planets and the sun and everything are perfect spheres and perfect circles when you view them. So that means there's funny. God's design. Right, you can see God showing you that it's designed that way, and it's insane.
Man, I was wondering what the next stage of flat Earth would be after that after that guy did in fact charter a helicopter to go above the ice wall or whatever.
And
just went silent after that.
You saw the other one where the guy is driving the boat around Antarctica. And he's this is proof that there's an ice wall. And he's no, dog, you're going in a circle, right? And he's we're surrounded on all sides. You're not disproving what you just thought you were disproving. If anything, you're kind of proving it harder. I'm trying to think of recent stuff. There's a guy named Sean Strickland. He's an MMA fighter. He's a UFC guy.
Always into fucking conspiracies.
Nah, he's not into conspiracies. He beat the dog shit out of Sneeko.
Wait, I know that name. Sneeko.
Sneeko's that weird guy. He's that weird guy. He's just he's one of those pathetic fucking streamer guys. Their whole vibe is actually Andrew Tate is the truth. You know what I'm saying? He's I don't know. He's one of those guys, right?
Okay. So basically a second Steven Crowder got punched in the face.
No, so this is different. So what happened was this. His whole thing is clout chasing for dudes that are I feel bad for Sneeko because my man doesn't really have, like, any kind of identity. It's sad. You know what I'm saying? He's got, like, he'll just kind of follow whoever is telling him, whoever has more followers than him and is telling him to do stuff. He's kind of, that's how he is, right? Mm. So, like, Sean Strickland is by no means perfect. He's, like, he's kind of like one of these, like, alpha male influencer guys, but he's not really an influencer. He's an MMA fighter. His whole thing is that he'll beat the dog shit. His whole thing is he'll beat the dog shit out of anyone for any reason. He loves to punch people in the face and he loves to get punched in the face, right? And he's got a pretty terrible background. Like, his life was pretty hard growing up. And, like, he's had some conversations around it, but he's still, like, a UFC MMA guy. He's not anyone who's, like, fucking, he's not a philosopher. He's not someone who has a personal philosophy other than, you know, if you punch every problem, eventually every problem will get knocked out. That's kind of his.
I mean, that's kind of hard to argue. Yeah, it's kind of tough,
but it's worked
against every time fascists have popped up in a position of power.
So, anyways, he hasn't met a problem he hasn't been able to knock out. Anyways, Sneeko's been talking about getting on a stream with him. Oh, you got to let me go on a stream. You should let me. And he goes, yeah, why don't you come and spar with me? Why don't you come in? We'll have a little spar. We'll have a little sparring match. And Sneeko stupidly was like, yeah, dude, I'd love that. I'd love to come there. And he thought he was going to go get into that ring and just get, you know, sparred. He put
roughed
on
up a little bit. Yeah.
Not even roughed up. He thought he was just going to get, like, a free boxing lesson or a free fighting lesson. And that guy put hands. There's video of it. That guy put fucking hands on him. Jesus. That guy went into there like it was a street fight. Like, that guy went into there like the inside of his skull was the cure for cancer, right? Like, that's what he was. He went in there fucking swinging. He beat the dog shit out of Sneeko. And Sneeko tried to play it off like he wasn't going to cry, right? As he was walking away from this. But it was pretty fucking bad. Anyways, that's the YouTube drama that I've been keeping up with and has been getting me pretty fucking good. I'm trying to think of other stuff that's been getting me good. Your impression of Joe Biden saying he believes in the separation of steak and eggs, which doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have
no,
to.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
We essentially did a whole episode in the pod or of the pod in the group chat where you're just like, listen, Jack, you put steak, it shouldn't be part of the egg. In this country is divided on the principle of separation of steaks and eggs. And, yeah, just stupid shit. Insane stupid shit. I'm trying to think of anything else going on in my life or stuff that I've been keeping up with on YouTube.
I've been working a lot.
Yeah.
I got 3 jobs.
Nice. I'm,
Abby found a job.
Oh, really? What is she doing now?
She's going to be a redacted at redacted at redacted.
Oh, sick.
I'll DM you.
Sick. What did I tell someone the other day? Like, I was working. So I'm working doing post stuff. Like, I've been going to postal school and stuff. And it's weird. Like, postal school is weird. I feel weird about it because. Oh, nice. I feel weird about it because I'm doing, like, it's weird because a lot of what it is, what you're learning. Oh, sick. A lot of what they're learning in, like, postal school.
All nices and the all six, yeah. By the way, are me, like, and Marcos, like, audibly reacting to the DMs I'm sending him about Abby's job.
It's so you know that I'm wrecking, you know what I'm saying?
Thanks, listen, man. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome,
thank
homie.
You.
I'm proud of this.
I know that, but I'm explaining to the audience so they can know what it's like to have a true friend.
I realize I'm a bad friend recently.
No, not really, man. You've been there for me through a lot of fucking hard times.
Yeah, but also I just don't be checking up on people. Like, I forget.
I'm bad at checking up on people too. It doesn't make me a bad friend. It just makes me bad at checking up on people.
No, I'm like people in my direct vicinity. Like, one of my homies that I had for a long time recently, like, we used to hang out and shit all the time. That fool's doing, like, life in prison, And like, I don't even know the last time I spoke to him, and we were like this, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, it's crazy. It's just crazy that that happened. Like, I'm like, dude.
For again, because the visual component was mentioned for the audience. Marcos was like, he had made a circle with one of his fingers, and he was just like pushing his other finger
into us. Yeah, we're like this back in the day. Oh my God. Jesus Christ! It's crazy.
They have no way to disbelieve me. What are they? What are they gonna say? Oh no, it was something else. Fuck you, bitch! I was here. I watched it. Just because I'm an unreliable narrator doesn't make me not the sole source of information on that.
I'm glad that Shoggs. We talked about it. Shoggs is gonna be less pedantic about where I get my information from. But I do have to, and I didn't get a chance to do it on the last pod that came out, so I'll do it now. Mm-hmm. But I have to fully renounce my full support of Cat Williams. I have to.
What happened?
He went on Joe Rogan and said some very stupid shit about it's. I'm mad about it, right? Because what had happened was this: he was on a winning streak. Right, he was doing he was doing the thing. He was funny. He was open minded. He was keeping his shit, talking about whatever. And then all of a sudden, he brings up.
He probably went on Rogan and said some shit about trans kids, didn't he?
No. Rogan.
I mean,
Joe
that's
Rogan,
what everybody said, does when they go on Rogan.
No, I almost said Ronald Rogan, which
Ronald Rogan.
I almost said Ronald Rogan, which is insane.
Oh shit! So I wish I had a Ronald Reagan impression I could pull out, so I could just say, "Jamie, pull that shit up."
Jamie, show me that man's balls.
Jamie, show me that man's balls.
Yeah. Jamie, bring me more cocaine. Anyways, fucking. I almost said it again. Joe Rogan.
Ronald Rogan.
Ronald Rogan is crazy. It's crazy, dude. Yeah, I'm really getting into doing mushrooms and ice baths. Nancy is giving me the Gok Gok 3000. anyways. fucking Joe Rogan was like, where do you come up with all, like, where do you understand, like, how do you find information? Like, where do you get all your info from? Because when anyone talks to you, it kind of sounds like you're just like, some pothead, like you sound like you, all your info is like, you know, you read it on a website, which is crazy. That's the kettle calling the fucking, the kettle calling the pot black or
pot calling
it?
The kettle black.
Yeah, it's a pot calling the kettle black, being like, oh, you get all your information from smoking too much weed. It's like, Joe Rogan, who the fuck do you think you are? What are you talking? Anyways, that's what
weren't
he's...
you the weed advocacy guy for a while?
His entire personality is a guy who smokes too much weed and is like, "You think aliens are real?" Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's exactly the same fucking. Anyways, that's what Joe Rogan had kind of accused Cat Williams of, and Cat Williams is like, actually, he's like, if you like study history and you read enough history books, you'll get to the Egyptians because they're probably the most ancient of history. And if you keep reading, you start getting to, like, you find a figure named Thoth. And if you come to understand Thoth's teachings and writings, you come to understand the world. What he's talking about is Telemach.
What?
Yeah, he's talking about I can't remember what Crowley book it is, but it's one of Aleister Crowley. He read Aleister Crowley, but what he got out of Aleister Crowley is that you shouldn't be gay and that Hollywood is trying to make you wear a dress to make you famous. Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. Essentially, all of this stuff is Hotep.
Yeah, no, I've entered I'm dealing with a typical crazy guy mentality now.
Yeah, it's Hotep.
This is no different. The guy who came in to my job, like, to use the restroom the other day, yelling that he was, "I'm on that shit, man. I'm on that cocaine. I'm on that crick crack." He made much more sense and was less crazy than whatever Cat Williams was doing, believing some fucking, like, Aleister Crowley bullshit.
Okay, so it might not be Aleister Crowley. It might be a guy named... Anyways,
it's just another one of those other conspiracy occult guys from California in the 60s or 70s. They're all the same guy.
It's The Emerald Tablets of Thoth by the Atlantean by Diane England is who wrote that book. And it's like,
it sounds like a fiction novel. Yeah, it sounds like, that sounds like bad fiction.
It kind of does.
It sounds like a fucking science fiction paperback you'd pick up in the 70s. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but could you imagine, like, if I get on Joe Rogan and they're like, Marcos, you're so smart. Where do you come up with all this stuff? Like, where do you learn? And I'm like, well, the thing is that none of this is real. We are the dreamers in the dream. The Godhead is conceiving us, and I've achieved Kim. Anyways, it's called...
Yeah.
If you read Morrowind...
I would respect that so much more, just if you're quoting fucking Elder Scrolls lore, like the deep texts.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, like, sun and star, right? Moon and star, Joe Rogan, please, come into my humble abode, right?
Come to me through fire and war. Come, friend or foe, Nerevar, come. Come and look this. Upon the come.
I can't find this Diane England lady. Emerald tablet.
Whatever. He read some fucking bad science fiction, basically.
Diane England occultism. The Emerald Tablets of Thought. Yeah, this shit is so it's gay. $3.49 on Amazon right now, dog.
Cool.
Anyways, I just think.
Hell yeah, man.
The. Dr. Diane England, anyways.
Is that a real doctorship?
I don't fucking know, dude. It's hard for me because, like, every time you get into any of it, it just, like, starts getting, it becomes the emerald fire, the inner fire, the most potent of all force, for it overcometh all things.
The emerald chaos.
Of the earth, man. Yeah, you got it. Emerald, the chaos
the emerald
crystals.
Chaos seven.
Yeah, the chaos emeralds is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
you know what's the worst about having long hair, dude? It's like finding it in your fucking shirt somehow, and it's like been tickling you for like 10 minutes.
I think the worst thing about having long hair is becoming evil, but do you not feel that way? Or is, because
I don't feel evil, no. I
that's
felt pretty
crazy.
Normal. Like, growing long hair was like the beginning of my good arc, honestly.
Telling Christine, what happened was, Christine, I told you, I've been telling, well, actually, I haven't told the pod that. I should probably tell that.
No.
Christine, Christine has been journaling.
New lore dropping right now. No.
So I have a really bad, I have a really bad problem. And it's especially like compounded with stress, which I've been under a lot of stress because I can't pay bills and stuff, so, you know, stressing out. Anyways, so I've been stressing out.
Hey, you're crawling out of it at least.
Yeah, I'm getting there, but I've been stressing out hard, and when I stress, I sleep talk. I talk in my sleep, and a normal person sleeps talk, and they'll just be like saying, like, oh, get the ice cream. Yep, there it is. You know, stupid shit like that.
I've actually been told that I say words that aren't real when I sleep talk.
There we go. Here's where I sleep talk. What happens is I'm dead asleep. And I'll be like, hey, Christine, and because she's in bed with me. And she'll turn around and like, yeah, what do you need? And I'll be like, I think it's too late for us to buy a grave. And then she's like, for who? And I was like, you fool. You absolute rube. And then I'll just roll back over and go to sleep. Right? So, like, I'm calling out to her first, right? And saying, do insane shit like that. So she's been recording the stuff that I've been doing.
Oh,
right?
Hell yeah.
And
this has to be mad unsettling to watch yourself do, by the way.
No, it's hilarious because I'm just constantly saying, because I was asleep and then I turned over and I was like, you think I won't tickle you right now? And she was like, what? And I'm like, my hair is long. I'm fucking evil now. And then I rolled over and fell asleep. <right? laughs> And like, I don't, that subconsciously put something in my head because I am evil now. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling evil. The longer my hair is getting, look how long. Like, I haven't, you can't really tell from here. You got to see. But, like,
it's tell. Oh, I could tell. I saw it all bunched up under there.
It's so long. My hair is so long. It's past my eyes. So I've been doing emo stuff in the front room. Like, I've been yelling. I've been doing, like, I don't know. I can't. Hold on. I gotta get it together so you can see.
Dude, having your hair in the front of your head. When you don't have when you have headphones on, like, this is such a crazy look.
Yeah.
Like, I always pull every, like, I'll have loose strands of hair, and like tufts of hair or whatever that like hang in front of my face, I always pull them up behind me whenever I put like headphones on. The fact that I'm seeing hair like bangs on your forehead and you have over the ear huge ass studio headphones on right now is actually a fucking wild look.
Yeah, no, and then what was I was doing the,
I feel like I'm about to see like I'm about to see like in 5 years like a fucking YouTube video of like what went wrong.
No, like I've been doing this.
You started a cult or something.
I've been doing the emo, the side part emo thing, and be like, and because tonight will be the night that I will fall for yet ever again. Don't make me lose my mind, right? Like hitting the notes, you know what I'm saying? Just doing it. Christine hates it. She hates me with long hair. She hates this look. She hates everything about this. And then I'm gonna shave my chin, right? I'm upset. I've been obsessed with it. As soon as I get settled into my job, I'm gonna shave my chin. I'm gonna leave everything else.
Oh, so you're going with the mutton chops?
Yeah, I'm going straight.
You're doing the full mutton chops.
Full muttons, and I've been curling the mustache out. So the idea is curly mustache, no chin.
Okay.
I want to look insane. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying. And then as soon as the hair gets long enough, I've been putting it up
in
like
the little, a good look.
In the little Yojimbo, the like straight up and down. I've been putting
that's
going to
be a
that.
Great look.
Yeah, samurai shit.
Dude, that's going to be a great look cuz that's like one of the ultimate evil looks.
Yeah.
Cuz that's like guy who works for the East India Company in 1603 look. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll give you...
That's a guy who has killed 18 people, 5 of them his own, in cold blood.
That's a guy who knows, who could tell you exactly how much people cost, right?
Yeah. His first wife died in a quote-unquote mysterious drowning accident.
Yeah. That's a guy whose last name is definitely like Pemblebottom, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe. I'm not sure if it's Pemblebottom because that's like you would be like the East India Company's version of a greaser. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're leading, like you ran with like a Scottish mercenary company for like 14 years. You know what I mean? That kind of guy.
Yeah. So like a guy whose name is Brick, whose first name is like Brick or Rock.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they used to have those kind of names. Yeah.
Robert.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Robert Rock, right?
No, Robert, maybe you've picked up some kind of, like, name for name from, like, your mercenary company, like The Knife
or
something.
Uh-huh. The Bad Person. Oh. It used to be, like, gang names.
Yeah.
The gang names for back in, like,
Robert the Evil.
Yeah, Robert the Evil. Robert the Bastard.
That's a good one. I like that.
It is, actually. Robert the Bastard
is a really good one.
Yeah, it's a great name.
That's a really good one.
That's your D&D. That's your bard D&D name, right? Like, you're a bard.
Yeah.
And your name is Robert the Bastard. That fucking slaps, actually. Oh, my God. Robert the Bastard really does sound like a prototypical, like, that guy plays the lute, you know what I'm saying? And he's, like, doing, like, nu metal, but, like, in the 17th century, like, fantasy. You know what I'm saying? He's, like, he's turning up the tavern. Robert the Bastard is turning the tavern up. It's like Fred Durst. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm imagining Robert the Bastard sounding exactly like Fred Durst. But for he's a half-orc bard, right? Have you heard Goblin Core music?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I found a bunch of Goblin Core music, but I found like Goblin Jazz, and I've been like, this is extreme.
Whoa.
This is extreme Ivy content.
It's called Gaz. But okay, I have to know, just because I have no context for this. Mm-hmm. Is Goblin Jazz evil jizz?
It's not evil. It's discordant jazz. It's hard to explain it. It's very discordant. It's very like boom, boom, beep, boom, ding, 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 boom, boom, beep, boom, ding, ding, ding. You know what I'm saying? And there's like a guy.
That might be something I would enjoy listening to for 5 to 30 minutes, and then never again.
Yeah,
flip a switch and hate forever.
Yeah, I was fascinated because there's guys on TikTok. That's all they make is gaz, goblin jazz, and it's like, or what was the other one they called? Gunk, which is goblin funk, and that one's pretty good too. It's like, bow, ba 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 ba, and you're like, oh, sick. And then it's like, ding 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 ding. It's like, it's evil. It makes you want to do this. It makes you want to put your hands up. Like in claws, you know what I'm saying?
So it makes sneaking you around. Yeah, in a cave.
Yeah, that's exactly what it makes you.
But with your friends.
Yeah, it makes you want to grab a club.
You and the gang get together like Scooby-Doo villain style.
Yeah, it makes you want to grab a club that's like six levels higher than you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and carry it on your person. And do you know what I'm saying? And it's much bigger than you. And use it anyways and not have the skill to use it. It makes you want to get one-shotted by the player characters.
Okay, man, I'm looking up fucking Goblin Core on YouTube Music, and all I'm getting is like fucking...
You won't find it
cottage
on YouTube.
Cottagecore women that are even more unwashed.
Yeah, that's not...
That's... Oh, Goblin Core Lo-Fi Mix. All right. Let's put this on in the background.
Yeah, you're going to see. I'll just find it on TikTok and send it to you because I think it only exists on TikTok. It's not, I don't know how to explain.
I would love to have just a music backing track for an episode, by the way.
Yeah, we could
just,
do that.
Just unrelated, unannounced. We just put it on and that's what we were listening to. Listening to some insane shit maybe or something really chill.
Yeah.
And then we're just going off. Do you know about whatever? It's completely unrelated.
Do you know about new jazz?
New jazz?
Yeah, it's like a producer style now that exists. It's weird. It's very weird. Right?
I don't know. I don't know it by name.
Yeah, it's instrumental. Actually, you've heard it before. It's every like viral TikTok song with no audio. Like or not with no audio, with no lyrics. It's just like
yeah.
It's very much I don't know if you listen to Yeet. Do you listen to Yeet at all?
Is that a genre or a person?
No, Yeet is a person.
Okay.
His Yeet kind of has fallen off, like his music isn't what it was. But he had like a moment there in like a few years ago where he's completely untouchable. And Yeet's music is very interesting because it's not good, but it's not bad. It's very interesting. There's a lot like his production style is very different. There's like a lot going on. It's heavily synth based. A lot of the music is like it's very cyberpunk actually. It's imagine like mumble rap but with cyberpunk elements. Right? Like try to
that's
imagine.
Either really bad or really good.
Exactly. you're almost nailing it.
My brain's not really capable of comprehending that, but it knows that it's something. And it's either funny or it's good. And if it's funny, it's bad.
He's got lyrics like my baby somebody looks like a monkey. Right? he'll call shit like little schmunky and stuff. He'll just make up words, right? It's fucking tight. You know, other mumble rappers will like, they'll get mad at you if you accuse them of making up words of being like, oh, you just made up, like, oh, that's not, you're not even enunciating. It's just nonsense. And they'll be like, nah. And if you listen, you can hear them enunciate what it is that they're saying. But Yeet does not care if he makes up words, you're gonna start saying them, right? So I like that about him, but he's fucking insane. His biggest claim to fame is that he made the Minions soundtrack. And
what?
He made a hit song on the latest Minions movie that came out, and like in the
okay,
yeah, in the song, he. He literally explains to you how he became, how he's making the soundtrack for the Minions. So like that's the song is him explaining to you how Sony or whoever the fuck owns the Minions approached him and told him to make a song. And then he is explaining that he's doing that. And then he told him a joke number of money that he'd be willing to do it. And then they paid him without question. And that's how that is the structure of the song. That is how
the insane.
Yeah, he's like, they had me made a Minion movie and I made it $1 million. it's crazy. It's literally that. It's insane how that fucking is. And yeah, he's always making weird noises, and he's like, like
he's almost. I just do that when I'm like cooking in the kitchen.
He's kind of like Bob Dylan. He kind of reminds. He's got like a Bob Dylan esque, like, you know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Like, there's an interesting style to my man. He's just he wears like a, what you call it all the time? Those, they're called shiesties. It's like a, it's a ski mask. He wears a ski mask.
Okay. Right?
And he wears it all day. Like, and it's all like a, it's like a fluffy, lacy ski mask. And he just wears it all the time. And he's always got that and a turban on. And then people are like, oh, are you like Arabic or something? And he's just like, I'm Mexican. So like,
I mean, if he's got a turban, he's probably Sikh.
No, he's Mexican.
But like, just, like, I know he's Mexican, yeah. But like, that's not like, Arab is not even a good guess.
I know
like,
that
turbans are a Sikh thing.
I know that, but it's like, this is, you know, this is kids who listen to Yeet. They're not, you know what I'm saying? They're not.
Yeah.
They're not aware.
That's
of
fair. I guess that's fair.
But he's telling.
I gotta give less credit.
Yeah. He's ridiculous. I love him. I loved Yeet. He hasn't really made a lot of music, but getting back to what we were talking about, he kind of like low-key invented new jazz, which is this weird genre of like music that I can't really explain or put my finger on it.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting music happening on TikTok. There's a guy named Dr. Giggle Touch.
Cool. And, that's a pedophile, right?
No, it's...
You sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, positive. His music styling is, like, really gross toilet sounds, and then he ends up stopping the track and, like... Okay, so he does, like, almost, like, radio plays, right? Like, these audio radio plays. Like, which explain the setup to what the song is gonna sound like, and then you would not think that it's gonna work musically, but it does. So like the intro to the song will be like, Dr. Giggle Touch, you need to make a song with this, that. And he goes, well, let me call my accountant. And then he's like, he'll like, do you know anyone who can do this for me? And then he'll like, he'll do a whole act out for the first like almost minute of the song. And then the rest of the song is what plays out. And it's insane. It's fucking completely insane.
I don't think I could go through that script every time I wanted to listen to the song.
It's not meant to be listened to multiple times. It's meant to be listened to once for the experience then never again. Which is very interesting TikTok strategy.
It's an interesting way to consume music, I guess.
It's hyper-consumption under like TikTok, right? It's like there's a weird interest, like... There's a lot of interesting things,
but I also hate it. Like, I don't like the idea that this is meant to be consumed only once. That has like a very like, almost like a, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's almost like an impending sense of doomedism.
I think
you
it's
know
a,
what I mean.
Yeah, but I think it's a good like. Allegory for the times we live in, personally.
Oh, for sure. I'm just, I'm fighting it in part by denying it.
I think it perfectly encapsulates our time, right? Like the time now, our moment in time. I think it's very good, like single use music, essentially. Nobody cares because that's not what they're listening for. They're listening to hear the funny fart noises. Mixed with like, like, you know, they want breakcore with fart noises. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that's what.
I guess, yeah. The world yearns for the return of penis music.
The world is made of penis music. It has always been so, right? The first Neanderthal, the first Homo sapiens. Crawling from the emerging from the caves.
First homosexual.
For them too. They got together in drum circles, and you know there was a guy whose like drum sounded a little fucked up, and they kicked him out of the drum circle, and he's like, I don't care. I'll play my own goddamn music. You know what I'm saying? And like, that's the birth. That's where we come from. That's where guys like myself come from. There have always been people who are listening. I'm like, there's always been people who listen to like Heavy Machinery, and there's like,
yeah,
this shit kind of slaps. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like listening to the dryer like ka-thump, ka-thump because it's like partially broken or whatever. And I'm like tapping along on my legs to it.
Yeah, this shit slaps.
Maybe I start yodeling.
Yeah. Speaking of, do you remember the Walmart yodel kid?
No.
Do you remember that guy? You don't remember that?
No.
It's had to be like 2015 maybe, somewhere around that time. There was a kid who went viral in Walmart. He was literally singing in Walmart and he was like yodeling, and the song was, for his age he was singing, was pretty good, but it was like a novelty because he's like in these big ass boots, right, and like in these like jeans and a t-shirt, like a you know, he looked like a goober. He was, you know, some little kid looked like goober. And he's singing this like old yodeling sad country song, and then anyways, he fucking went viral. Nobody paid attention. Nobody cared. After a while, it fell apart. And he's back. And he made this song. And the song is incredible. It's a good country. He's kind of single-handedly bringing country back. He's making country palatable again. It's good. It sounds like... It's not like the like guns, trucks, money, beer. You know what I mean? Like that you hear all the time.
Yeah, the shit that's dominated it for like the last 20 years.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of... I don't know who the fuck. I have to go through my like YouTube likes because I've been on a country kick recently, and I know it's gonna sound like crazy for me, but I've been like way deep into country. Hold on, I'm gonna find what I was listening to.
I've just been listening to this goblin core lo-fi track.
What do you think?
Since I found it.
Is it good? Is it bad? What's your
It's just
opinion?
Lo-fi. All lo-fi sounds the same. Yeah. I don't know why it's goblin core. I think it's just because there's an animated picture of like some leaves blowing past mushrooms or something.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like a ladder and a little door and a hill.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know why it's called goblin core, honestly. It only has 7,000 views.
Yeah,
it premiered 2 years ago.
People like Freddie Fender.
Oh, this is what I should be listening to.
Have you ever heard Freddie Fender?
No.
Freddie Fender is like...
Freddie Fassbender.
Freddie Fazbear. I love the like...
Freddie Fazbear.
Oh, 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 oh. I've just activated our sleeper cell unit of... Right. That's abort.
I'm listening to classical Ottoman music now.
Every time I hear... Every time I hear some like ancient music, I'm like, this is some Ivy shit to be listening to. The other day I was listening to like, what is that fucking the Celts? What were they music or the Celts? What were they used
the
to
Celts?
Hit that? They used to hit that fat horn and it would scare the dog shit out of the Romans. You know what I'm talking about?
No idea. I have no idea, but I fucking love that like throughout human history, across its many migrations, across all parts of the world, there have always been weird fucking little groups of guys that lived in the woods and made loud noises to scare people.
Yeah. No,
from the Aztecs with their fucking whistle skulls.
Yeah, the death whistle.
To the Celts blowing their stupid horns.
That's how you know that. That's how you know the Aztecs and the Celts probably broke off from the same... tribe.
Yeah,
you know,
no, because they shared the same vision.
The same
they shared
idea.
The same vision.
Because the Romans would come in their legion, right? They'd come like in their legion, full regalia, full geared up, and be like, I think it's called like a calx, I think is what it's called, right? And
they would sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like a big ass long horn, right? And it's like it's got a dragon at the end of the horn piece, and it's like a big copper. Essentially a Vesuvula is what it is, but it's like bent and it's bent in a weird way. And it sounds like a Carnix. Yeah. And it sounds like, and it's like so loud.
Oh yeah. No, I see a three Carnix players depicted on plate E of the Gundestrup cauldron. And they're like just holding up these giant, like horse headed vuvuzelas.
Yeah.
Like, they would twice as tall as they are.
They would have, so like they'd have legions, entire Roman legions attempting to get into like the Celts land to try and like take them over and shit. And the Celts would just be in the fog playing that. And the legion would abandon. They would be afraid. They'd be like, "What the fuck is this, dude? We're not fighting them. We can't see them. We can hear them.
Incredible.
They've got dragons or some shit over there, dude." They've got fucking dragons over there, bro. I'm not trying to fight that, dude. But yeah, that's... Oh, my God. I've also been getting way into, like, Italian guy music. Like, extremely...
What do you mean by Italian guy music? That's such a... That could mean literally so many things.
Not Italian from Italy, but Italian, like Italian, like Tony Soprano style music. But not Tony okay. Soprano, because he listened to like the Stones and stuff. I'm talking about yeah. like wise guy. I was going to
say that's normal
yeah,
music.
Yeah, I'm talking about like wise guy music.
Oh, so right? like big band?
Kind, no. That's like Henry Mancini, right? Like.
Oh, so more like Rat Pack?
Almost that, but it's just like, it's weird because it's a type of music that is very specific to a time period, right?
Yeah.
And the type of music that it is, hold on real quick. The type of music that it is like orchestral, it's like a extremely, it's just extremely like, it's just orchestral music, but it's very cinematic. I'll send yeah. you a link so you can hear it. But you'll hear it and you'll be like, oh, this is Italian guy music. This is what Italian
okay,
this is.
Okay.
This is what guys are like, right. Hey, Maron, mamma mia. Right?
Maron.
Maron. What do you mean? Like, hey, get the fuck out of here. Like,
hey, give me a cannoli.
Yeah. This shit, if you were to eat a cannoli while you're listening to this, it would taste better. Do you get what I'm saying? Huh. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This guy's name is Mr. Music Montavani. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the guy who's making
Mr.
music.
Mr. Music Montavani.
Yeah, that's what you need to... I've been listening to a lot of this kind of stuff, which is ridiculous when you think about it. Like, why would a human being listen to this? I just sent it to you so you can listen to it. It's insane. And it's on an 8-track player, by the way. It's like on the reel-to-reel. That's how old this fucking music is.
Damn.
You get to watch this guy unbox it and, like, put it on the reel, and then that's how it plays.
Hell yeah.
It kind of slaps. But yeah, that's the kind of music I've been getting into. I've been getting into weird shit recently, honestly, just because, I don't know, what the fuck. I'm looking forward to getting, like, deep into the, like, really deep into the post office, because right now it's still, like, easy mode, and it's about to turn up for me on Wednesday, and I'm excited for
Very
that.
Good.
I'm excited for that because I can't wait to, like, be regular and not have to do all this insane shit to keep myself, to keep my mind busy. Do you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
You just have, like, having a normal routine fucking slaps so hard.
Yeah, because I need that.
I'm genuinely, like, at one of my, like, situation notwithstanding, like, our financial situation has vastly improved over the last, like, literally, like, 3 weeks. Thanks to Abby having a job now, some money coming through I wasn't expecting, like a whole bunch of stuff, friends helping me out. But like also the fact that I've had a full 9-to-5 work week
mm-hmm.
and then I started dude, I was singing when I got off my shift today.
Mm-hmm.
I was like on my way to the fucking pharmacy. I was like in the car with Abby going to the grocery store. I was whistling. I was like just bopping along. It was so nice, dude. I need a stupid structure like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because like having a stupid, especially at home, because having a stupid structure like that at home mm-hmm. gives me a focus to like do things on the computer.
Yeah.
Like that I've been putting off. Mm-hmm. I'm like doing little tasks around the house because I'm like, ooh, I could slip away for like 5 or 6 minutes and go do this.
No. Like, I get like, if I don't have a structure, right? If I don't have a job, that I kind of dislike, and you know what I'm saying? If I don't have yeah. a job where I'm like, fuck, this sucks and I have to keep showing up here, if I don't have that in my life, then what ends up happening is that I start obsessing over art stuff and I start doing lots of like art projects with no chance of ever finishing any of them, right? But a normal person will be like, oh, this is me time. And I'm like, this is my job. This is my job now. I'm not getting paid for it, but it's my job. I got to paint 6 paintings today before I, you know what I'm saying? Like I just, crazy, insane shit, right? Like I got to write 4,000 words. Do they have to be good? No, but I have to do 4,000. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's the level of shit.
No, that's what like my metrics are for fucking like my job. It's like I have to do 35 responses like an hour minimum. Mm-hmm. Like
Jesus. 35 responses an hour. That's kind of high. What are you responding to?
I'm listening to fucking audio prompts.
Oh,
like listening to audio responses of kids who are learning English.
Mm-hmm. And you're judging.
Basically, judging how fluent they are, like on a holistic perspective. Because the state of Texas has been hollowing out its educational system for some years now.
Absolutely.
And the company that I work for is saying, hey, free money.
That's kind of a tight job. That's kind of
tight. It is. I think I get paid, I think, $15.40 an hour now. It goes up 40 cents every 1,000 hours worked, which is, like I told my friend yesterday, it's not a great rate of increase on average, but it is steady and guaranteed.
The post office slaps for, like, their benefits. The pay sucks. But all the benefits are crazy. Like, so after you accrue 1,000 hours of vacation time, which roughly works out to, like, 5 months, you have two options. Mm-hmm. And it's either you can take a five-month vacation if you would like to, or they will cash you out for your accrued vacation time, right? Which is extremely significant. And then they let it keep
That's
going over.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. You just get five free fucking months worth of money, basically.
And they...
So you are getting paid good, basically. You just, like, have to wait for it.
Yeah, no, literally. So you get vested in 5 years, right? So you start out, so you're making, like, $22 an hour, which is not a lot, at least out here. It's not livable.
Yeah,
out
no.
Here. Most of the country, that's the other thing, too. That's across the country. So there
Wait,
are
that's
place...
their, like, average rate just period?
Yeah, that is...
Surely they adjust it regionally.
No, that's it. 22,
really?
13. Yeah, 22, 13 across the nation. Even in Puerto Rico. Okay. Like, all of it. Everywhere.
Damn, right? That's good money in Puerto Rico. Shit.
It's good money everywhere except for California,
It's good money
Hawaii,
everywhere except
and,
California. Yeah,
yeah. New York, right? Those are the three places where it's fucking... No, it's ass. It's complete ass. But everywhere else, it's great money. But...
Honestly, even here in the Triangle is, like, pretty good money. Yeah, it's pretty expensive here. It's getting more expensive, but still.
So you work that, and then you can get topped out. The current contract is you can get topped out at 35.
Well, you can get topped?
You can get topped. You get straight topped. No.
Oh, shit.
You get what they call topped out, which is $35 an hour. So that's $35 an hour, and that's after 5 years of you being vested. But that's with the current contract. And right now our contract's in negotiation, and people are saying we're probably going to get maybe 30, like, to start, and then it's probably going to cap us out at, like, 50 or 60 to adjust for inflation.
What?
But, like, it's all hearsay. No one knows for
that
sure.
It is all hearsay, but, like, still.
Yeah. Regardless, it's going to be more money coming. And then on top of that, the overtime is crazy, right? Because, like, for us, it's – right now, because I'm starting out...
Marco's entering his opulence era.
I really am about to be very opulent. I've already started because, like, I'm, like, flat broke, and I can see, like, I'm, like, the... You know what it is? I'm, like, Paul Muad'Dib for real. Like, I see a thousand possibilities, and I just got to stay the golden path. You know what I'm saying? Of being broke, of, like, maintaining this brokenness. Being like, no, I just got to be vigilant about... I can't start feeling like I'm making Mercari money, but I'm about to start remaking Mercari money, right? Like, I'm about to start being in that sweet
doing
spot.
Something that is way better for society, by the way, than Mercari.
Yeah, for sure. But so
rather than facilitating people selling off their lives to try to survive, will be facilitating literally whatever
that is
a
Nazi
box
that
needs to go from place to one place, point A to point B.
That and Nazi memorabilia. That's what Mercari was for, right? It was selling Nazi memorabilia selling. The cool part was that white women were selling themselves into slavery to afford what's that brand, Brittany Melville, right?
Fucking no.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like a white woman to you?
No. It was cool. Ray Dunn. Ray Dunn. That's what it was. It was Ray Dunn.
Ray Dunnovan.
Yeah. Ray Dunn. But
Ray Dunsparce.
It's like a really bad brand. Anyways, women were selling themselves into fucking, like, poverty to trade Ray Dunn amongst each other. And it's all glassware. Fuck. It's all like glassware and, like, ceramic stuff. And then you would not believe how many times people would, like, they would buy the stuff. People didn't have the basic understanding of, like, the market. They would buy high and try and sell even higher, right?
Okay.
And it just was not happening, so that they would always sell at a loss. And when they would sell at the loss, what would happen is it wasn't packed correctly. It would get shipped there in the mail, and it would get fucking destroyed. So now they don't get their product, and they don't get paid. So it's just they just get a double
loss. Damn, buy high, sell nothing.
Yeah, buy high and lose it. That's what essentially was happening.
Buy high and shoot your balls
off. Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous. And they would be like, it was your guys' fault. Like, dog, what did
it
you...
It was your fault. Man, like, no. You literally didn't packed even it. Put, yeah. like, some water. Wadded up paper in there.
Right. You pack this with a brick. You put a brick inside your right?
Yeah. Yeah, you put rocks in here.
Yeah, this was never gonna make it. You put a single sheet of tissue paper and rocks. And that's what yeah. that's how you
like,
ship
ma'am,
this.
you put this You put this glassware in what is essentially a rough cut rock polisher. Yeah. Didn't even slap a fragile sticker on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. In fact, you wrote a throw me sticker on this. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Unfragile, yeah, it says. Yeah. Hit me as hard as you can.
Yeah. Use me as a step-ass package, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so like they would – that's what – but anyways, I'm doing this new job and the – overtime, when you first, your first 90 days, this is the thing that sucks about it. Your first 90 days, the overtime is mandatory, right? You can't say no to it.
Oh, that sucks.
So okay. you have to do it. You're looking at 12-hour, sometimes even 14-hour days. But here's the great part. Whew. Past 8 hours, time and a half. Past 10 hours, double time.
And then, whoa, fucking double time.
Double time. And then this is where it gets really fucking cool. If they send you somewhere else because there's not enough work at your post office and you have to travel to a different one,
drive is covered too.
No, that whole day is time and a half. And if you work overtime.
Oh, the whole day is yeah, time and a half.
And if you work overtime, that's double time, right?
What the fuck?
So
that's crazy.
And that's for 50 miles. If they send you outside of 50 miles, 100 miles, like if they send you further than 50 miles, they will pay for your room and board at like a hotel while you work.
Yeah.
And while you work, you're getting double time. That's you're getting
God damn.
Right. And like that's how that works. And like, do you know how sick
this
that
is the power, by the way, ladies
of a
and
union.
Gentlemen,
yeah.
This is the power
of a union
of
that
an
doesn't
actual
fucking suck.
Union.
Yeah.
Organizing the one of the nation a strike that brought the nation to its knees in yeah. 1970.
Apparently, I think it was early on, Joe Biden got a little snippy with us during the UAE stuff because we were like, we support the auto workers. And he was just like, well.
Oh, the UAW stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
UAW. And he was just like, oh, we're going to he's like, oh, well, you know, your guys' negotiations are coming up. And it's kind of like, you guys should be in lockstep with us because – you know, we're the federal government. If you're not lockstep with us, then it kind of makes us look bad. So
if you're not lockstep with us, maybe I go down in history as the second president to have another postal strike.
Well, no. So that the National Letter Carriers, NLC, they literally were like, hey, yeah. We do what we want. They were like,
yes.
They were just like, keep talking that shit. We'll strike on your ass, right? Like, keep talking that shit. See what happens.
Rules.
And then they.
It's illegal for us to strike, so we don't actually have to declare, like a work stoppage form or whatever. We'll just wildcat this shit tomorrow.
Yeah.
And shut the fuck up, old man.
You'll have the fucking National Guard delivering mail and fucking it up. See how that
man.
Works, dude. But yeah, it's crazy how.
Dude, it was so funny, like reading about, because I didn't know the fucking mail strike of 1970 happened, because I wasn't taught about that in like a history book. Mm-hmm. Learning that the National Guard had to like distribute the mail, and that they fucked it up so colossally that they quit in under 8 hours.
Yeah, under 8 hours. And then you know why?
Just stopped trying.
Do you
after
know why
that?
They quit? So. The mail cases, there's two really important inventions that happened right around that time.
Yeah.
In the 1970, they invented, this is another crazy thing I didn't know about. The post office in its 200, and I think it's 248 or 284 years of being around, has never once had a single layoff. Once. Never.
Never seen a what?
It never had a layoff. It's never once had any kind of downsizing.
Damn, that is the literally most secure employment in the country.
Yeah, it is. They do not have layoffs. They do not. In fact, it's the opposite. They have things where like they're like, hey, listen, we're understaffed. It's now mandatory you work 60 hours, dog.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're getting paid for them, but you know, it's mandatory now. Right.
Yeah.
So like, which kind of sucks, but I don't care. I'm happy to be secured in employment.
That's money.
I was trying to explain to people that it's a lot like joining the Marines for guys who really like jazz. Do you know what I'm saying? Guys who hate the federal government and really like
guys
jazz.
Who really like jazz, hate the government, and probably have some of the weirdest / coolest facial hair you've ever seen.
Exactly. Yeah, that's when it's the Marines, right?
High concentration of like guys who are like crowning bald and have a ponytail that's 4 feet long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. extreme guys who have no mustache but the thickest beard you've ever seen.
Yes.
Right? Or, you know, guys with a 7 foot long goatee and, you know, like a whisper of a mustache. You know what I'm saying?
The only other kind, like, type of people that has this sort of facial hair is, like, Harley Davidson bikers.
Yeah, exactly. A guy with a 2 foot soul patch. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, that's what you got.
But, honestly, and those Harley Davidson biker guys, probably male workers because they're the only ones that seem to get, like, paid vacation.
Yeah.
So they can actually afford to do, and the amount of money that they're making, they can afford a nice bike, and they can afford to take a month-long cross-country trip.
You know what's wild? Actually, I'm glad you're here, because I've been wanting to talk about male stuff. I've been wanting to do a male chat for a hot minute. But essentially, the USPS doesn't function, doesn't receive any money from the federal government.
They're completely self-funded.
So that means
I support every postage stamp increase, by the way.
Yeah. So you know what that means, right? That means that when there's a government shutdown, it does not affect us.
It literally doesn't matter. Yeah.
We will continue delivering the mail, right? And like that
And that's
to me,
why
slaps.
The United States mail service, the postal service, is the pound for pound highest rated government service. For people, for like public opinion, it's always number one. Everyone loves the mailman.
Once you're in there, though, it is very much like you can't delay the mail. You have to uphold the brand, and then everyone's kind of like, it's essentially like it's good. I don't know how to explain this in a way. It's good capitalism, right? Because everyone is like, no, you have to, you're part of us now. You have to maintain the brand. You're part of the brand. You represent the brand. If you're a bad person out there, it's going to look bad on the brand. So we got to cut ties with you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but if you serve the brand, people are like, nah, we love you, dude. You know what I'm saying, man? It's kind of crazy. It's number go up, but in a good way. I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't make any sense. But the post office.
It is
slaps.
like I always say, man. Capitalism is totally fine and dandy as long as you have a fucking iron fist at the top, crushing it down, and holding it into shape.
What is it? It's communism when me and the homies do it. It's capitalism.
Exactly.
when the market is controlled by the homies, it's communism, right? Anyways, it's crazy, but, there's a bunch of weird shit. Like there's a bunch of weird lore that you have to learn being in the post office. And one of the weird ones that I learned is that letters written to Santa and God have a special place that they go to.
That's cool. I didn't know they had one for God. I knew they had one for Santa.
They have one for Santa and God and like fictional characters. So it's weird. This is kind of hearsay. I don't know how true this is. Because like all this is kind of like passed down, but the story goes is that everyone who writes if you write a letter and you write it to Mickey Mouse, right, or like Donald Duck, it goes to a place in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia, called Nixie, right, and there it just gets incinerated. They just burn it, right?
Okay. Prayers to heaven.
But if it's written to God, or if it's written, and this is where like the hearsay part comes in, if it's written to God or if it's written to Santa, they take it. I don't know how true this is, but it's one of the only bits of mail that postal inspectors don't need like what you call it?
Stamp?
No, a warrant to open up. So they open it up, they read it, they mark in a ledger that it was read, and then they burn the contents. And that's those are the only two letters that that happens for.
Huh, right? Interesting.
And then...
So somebody out there knows, like, all of the kids' wishes, basically.
Well, a whole department, apparently. A whole department of postal inspectors know that. And then it gets a little weirder because then they write in a ledger that the letter was read, but they don't write what the contents of the letter were. That's not recorded at all. They just write.
So it's like instead of having a book and knowing who's naughty and who's nice, it's kind of a book of like message received.
Yeah, essentially, it's essentially saying book, like letter read, and then at the end of the year, at the end of every calendar year, they burn the book that marks that every letter was read. Huh. So, like, it's a completely pointless...
This sounds like a myth. This sounds
yeah,
like
it
a
sounds,
myth.
Yeah, it does like, sound like a myth,
it
but...
It sounds cool, though. I'm willing to believe it.
I've had, like, three separate postal employees tell me that this is what happens at Nixie. But also, none of them are from Atlanta, Georgia, so I don't know if they're just fucking with me or not. But it sounds so magical. And they've all had the same exact beats to correct... You know what I'm saying? Like, they've told the story in three different ways, but every story is similar. We're like... Yeah, the post inspectors need a warrant to read your mail unless it's for Nixie. That's what it's called. Unless it's for Nixie and it's for Santa or for God, and then they don't need that at all. And they read those two books. They read those. And one lady said it was because she thinks that it's has something to do with like Benjamin Franklin was the first postmaster, and he was the first person to receive mail deliverable to God and to Santa, so he read them both, and so like it's like a thing now that they do to like honor his memory. Aww. But I don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? No one has a fucking. There's no, I don't know. It's just it's a crazy like bit of lore, bit of male lore that I've learned, and yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like it's just fucking insane.
I'm reading a Smithsonian magazine article about this.
Mm-hmm. The dead letter. People call it the dead letter.
The dead letter office. Yeah. But that was before the invention of Operation Santa.
What is Operation Santa? What the fuck is that?
So Operation Santa was a. Oh, it's actually on the fucking USPS website. Program history. Okay. Thousands of letters arrive to Santa each year. The USPS Operation Santa program invites people to adopt and respond to them. The United States Postal Service is responsible for the nation's letters. Thousands are sent to Santa and the North Pole each year. The mission of the USPS Operation Santa program is to answer these letters. Anyone in the United States can write a letter to Santa, no matter their religion or denomination. While it's helped thousands of families across the U.S., the program is not a 501c3 nonprofit or charity organization, nor is it associated with any partners. It was invented in 1912 when Postmaster General Frank Hitchcock created Santa's first mailroom, which authorized local postmasters to open the letters for employees to read and respond to.
That's
so basically
slaps.
Like the employees would like respond to the letters.
That's ridiculous. This is such 1940s, a shoggy pill. Shoggy would probably piss himself knowing about it.
It's so pleasant. So pleasant. In the 1940s, this is on the fucking USPS's like website. Mm-hmm. Like this is real, everybody. This comes straight from the fucking horse's mouth. Mm-hmm. In the 1940s, the USPS Operation Santa program opens to the public. Basically anybody could participate in responding to these letters, because they would just read them. They would, open them and, you know, you could just write them. In 2017, Operation Santa goes online. So they started digitizing the letters, scanning them, put them on their website. They started the online program in New York, it looks like, and... Mm-hmm. Now, anyone in the United States can fulfill someone's holiday wish as of 2019. There was some kind of movie that was made in 2020.
That's crazy.
It's kind of like, It basically, it's like if they'll give you like, I guess, a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I guess if you want to, you can respond to that address.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just like send whoever sent that some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, if the kid was like, I wish I got a roll of nickels for my for Christmas. Yo, or something like
kid,
that.
If a kid got into coin collecting, yeah, no, kid wants a roll of nickels, like, dude. I'm sending you cocaine. You got to improve your life somehow.
I'm sending
dog.
You a roll of nickels. I'm also sending you a sock so yeah. you can learn how to mug people. Oh, and then there's just a little button here to read letters.
That's crazy. I did not know about this.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of fucking scanned letters on the website.
That's wild. All right, I think this we've been cool. going for probably over an hour now. Let's see where we at. We're at an hour 20. Yeah, let's thank all the homies that have been helping us out, been supporting us.
You do have to write Santa's address now, I think, on the envelope.
What is Santa's address?
They're not accepting any more letters this year, the website says. They're already full.
Okay.
It's 123 Elf Road, North Pole, zip code 88888. For anybody,
I thought you were about to be like 1488.
No,
I was like, why? Jesus Christ, what is going
man,
on?
No.
That's what I was like. Hey, why
would I do that?
I don't know.
Why
not
would
you.
I, of all people,
I
make a joke like that?
You would not make the joke. I'm saying I thought for a split second when you're like 88, and then I was expecting in my stupid brain was like 1488, and I was like. Why is Santa a Nazi? What is going on here?
Don't know.
Why are they putting weird like, Nazi lore in the Operation Santa is also part of what is it? What was the Operation Paperclip? It's the same operation.
Operation Santa is actually a part of fucking the fucking stay behind operations.
Yeah, Operation
Europe.
Gladio. He's
Operation Gladio. Yeah. yeah. All right,
oh,
where's the fucking Patreon names?
All right, it's ready. I'll read them out. Fuzzy Nalgas, Grief, Hamwich, Jay, Justin Bennington, Kevin Villasane, Kiefer, Malik Nunez, Roboy, Shmoo, Andrew Morgado, Benny, Brody, Chris Wade, Daniel Freed, Vescatch, Fred Sharman, Gabriel, He Devil in France, Jonathan Weber, Josh G., Christopher Lynch, Luke Simasek, Patrick Goldman, Reese, Big Dick, Richard Kochnar, What's Up, Rianne, Sarah Zadig, Slithers, Spenny, Steven Civignano, Terrence Hudson, The Empty Set. This is my favorite one. This is straight up my favorite one. Wax Replica was on here as JJJ LMAO. I love when people communicate to us this way. This is...
Oh my God, yeah. That was Wax the whole time?
That was Wax the whole time. That's the way...
Holy
that's how
fuck.
You, if you want to communicate with us, this is the way to do it. Communicate to us. We were doing the booty pics of Spider-Man meme for so long with you. I want booty pics of Spider-Man. I want them spread open.
I'm so glad it was one of the homies. I'm yeah. so glad it was one of the homies.
All right, anyways. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. See you next time.